Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome. I'm Jim Simmons, and we're pleased to have you join us tonight. Tonight we continue in a series about feelings. You may have had a sad day or a happy day. However, whatever way you feel, know that God is involved in your feelings as well. But first, here is the pastor of Ask the Pastor, author, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you feeling this evening?
Well, actually, not too bad, and pretty excited about once again getting together for this broadcast. You know, some people think you're only depressed when you get your eyes off Jesus, and that's very spiritual, but I think we have to bear in mind that it can also become very superficial with that label like that. I think we sometimes say that to people who are supposed to be believers, and the person saying it sometimes being a little superficial, being a little bit of a tone, as though, I've got my life together, what's wrong with you? I don't think that's right. And so if you're one of those people that you are dealing with depression and you've turned to church for help and support, and people really have not encouraged you, in fact, you sort of feel like they went the other way, I hope you'll stay with us. I hope you'll spend some time with us as we look and see what the Bible does say. And to be quite clear that the Bible has a lot to say about being honest about our feelings. To understand that, to realize that, to be open and honest with each other. And I hope that you'll see some scriptures that will provide comfort, encouragement. And, you know, yes, we can do a lot of things wrong when we get our eyes off Christ. But we also have to realize that we live in days that are very challenging, very troublesome at times. And in addition to keeping our eyes focused on Christ, we need to also be aware that sometimes physical things happen, as well as events that simply need to go beyond a simple God bless you. God does bless us. God does give us wisdom. But we cannot afford the luxury in very difficult and challenging days to be superficial in dealing with the body of Christ when a member of that body is hurting. And so I hope you all know that as we come together, our desire is to provide you some encouragement, some support, some direction to have victory over depression, to move forward. And we trust this evening will be a blessing to you. There's also one other very important element to consider, and that's just sort of a reminder at this point, that Jim, in case you hadn't been checking your timer, next week we'll begin the fifth year of programming for Ask the Pastor Now. Pretty exciting, isn't it?
Wow. I can't believe it's been over 4 years now. Wow. Time gets away.
It does. And it also has a way of providing blessing. So we thank our listeners for being a part of those very special 4 years. Some of you may be recent joiners to us. Others have been very faithful over the long term. Regardless, we pray that this will be something that we'll work together towards sharing what the Bible has to say about things. Never simply our opinion. If I do ever fall back to an opinion, I hope I have the foresight to be very clear that something is my opinion. What I always want to point you back to is, what does the Word of God say? That's the true foundation. Everybody has opinions. What's important is, what does God say about whatever it is that we're dealing with? I'd also ask people to remember the very powerful passage. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. The scripture goes on to continue, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck that which is planted. And it goes on and on. And the point of all that to be that we sometimes act as though, you know, God is surprised and God doesn't know what I'm facing and going through. And the reality is, there is a pattern to life. There are times that we face. And I hope you can grasp and understand that whatever it is you are facing and dealing with today, understand this most importantly of all. God has it uniquely in your life. He is either permitted to come in and he's going to walk you through it. And I don't think he brings trouble and disaster into our lives. But I think when those things do come, what I do find example after example of throughout the Old and New Testament is that God takes those moments and uses them to his glory to draw us closer to him and to be an example to people who don't know him as Savior and Lord, so they can see the value and the merit and the encouragement of knowing Christ not only as Savior, but as Lord of your life. So I think we're going to have a very special time as we go through this, the last session of a fourth year programming, and right on the edge of starting a fifth year. So Jim, why don't you get us started the best of ways, the right way, by opening us in prayer.
Certainly. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads and our hearts in reverence to you. We want to express our love and our adoration to you for uniquely creating us, for saving us, and as you promised, providing for us. Father, we ask you to continue your hedge of protection around this nation. We especially thank you for Jesus, who paid our ransom with his blood. I pray, Lord, that you would superintend this program tonight and give Dr. Lyons the exact words you'd have him deliver. We pray further that this program will be a blessing and a comfort to those who hear it. In the name above all names, the name of Jesus, we make this prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Just before we begin, let me remind you that if you would like to ask a question, you can email your question to ask@askthepastornow.com. That's ask@askthepastornow.com. Also, if you're listening from the archives, you can call and leave your question for us by dialing 1-866-275-4472 and choosing option 1. Now, let's begin our study as we continue with what to do when you feel depressed.
Thank you, Jim. That's so important. I appreciate especially that you made mention of those who listen by the archive. Just want to take a brief moment to give a special greeting or shout out to those folks. You know, Jim, it's amazing the number of people who listen to us at other times. I think when we first began this process, we thought in terms of the people who would be with us at prime time, radio time. But that's prime time radio for the southwest part of the United States. And what's interesting is through the internet, we have listeners that are all over the world. So their prime time or best time may be for us a time that, you know, we've moved on to something else. So it's exciting to know that through technology, God allows us to come together at a variety of times, whatever is most convenient for our listeners all throughout the world. So again, I express our gratitude for those listeners, your faithfulness, and also encourage you to take advantage of the references that Jim made a moment ago to contacting us, to giving us your questions, your thoughts, your comments that are a vital part of this programming. Tonight, we continue with what to do when you feel depressed. And it's best sometimes just to make sure we're all on the same page, because sometimes we use terms and don't fully appreciate just what they mean. By definition, depressed, sad and gloomy, dejected, downcast, pressed down or situated lower than the general surface, lowered in force or amount. That one seems pretty self-obvious, but I thought it was sort of interesting, Jim. I also happened to stumble across the definition within the field of zoology and botany, and they defined it simply for animal and plant life, flattened down, greater in width than in height. And I thought, you know, there's a lot of truth in that. Just when you begin to think of how you feel when you feel depressed, you don't feel like you're tall, riding high in the saddle. You do feel like, yes, I'm just sort of beaten down. There's what's left. That's the way the enemy can come after us and beat us down and make us feel. But we have a God who loves us. We have a God, to me, one of the great things is who listens to us. That's a pretty amazing thing. You know, Jim, you think of some of the major corporations around America and around the world for that matter. And if you are not the head of that company, sometimes it's easy to feel like you're just a cog in the machinery and maybe not one that's often listened to. And so as a believer, to realize that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords listens and hears us when we cry out, to me, is pretty powerful. First example I see of that, in case some of our listeners are wondering, does he really? Psalm 34:17 says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." I think that's pretty straightforward. I'm always amazed when people say, "Well, I just don't understand the Bible." How much clearer can that be? When we cry out, the Lord hears, and he delivers us out of all our troubles. Isn't that nice, Jim? It doesn't say some of them, and it doesn't say sometimes. It says all. I mean, that's amazing. You know, how does that strike you as a believer to know that God listens?
Well, first, I think when you read the righteous cry, mm-hmm. So I think what it's doing is giving us license that he didn't expect us to handle all that is going to come our way. So he's telling us the righteous cry. It's okay. And then the Lord heareth, which is amazing. So little old me, the Lord heareth, mm-hmm. and deliver them out of all their troubles. So it gets back to what you've taught us, what Jesus said is, bring all your cares, your concerns and worries to me, and I'll exchange your heavy yoke for my light yoke. So I think too many years the world has taught us, if we don't do it in our own strength, it's not going to get done. And this is teaching us just the opposite, right?
That's very true. And I'm glad you made, again, that reference to, you know, the exchange of the yoke. You know, take our burdens to him and he'll exchange them. But he says, my burden is light. He'll carry our load. That's an amazing analogy. And it's scripture-based. Mm-hmm. That's the important part of it. And yes, it's the righteous that cry out and the Lord hears. I always like that because, you know, there's a relationship that's going on there. The righteous and the Lord hearing. You know, you look at a crowd of children that are all out there making noise and carrying on and playing and having a good time. One child stumbles and cries out, and one parent in the crowd immediately knows their child just experienced a hurt and they're on the way to go in there and rescue.
Right.
It always amazes me that a parent can do that over a crowd of what seems like total disorganization, and yet that one voice cries out, and that one parent immediately makes a connection. It's not like 30 parents look around and say, was that mine? No, that one hears the voice and responds. And I think that's what happens in Psalm 34:17. When we cry out, he's our Heavenly Father, and he hears us, and he responds to our cry. And so whatever storm of life is coming our way, whatever issue is in front of us. You know, the prophet Isaiah had a pretty good grasp of this, and God, through the prophet, gave us some insight on what God will do for us. Jim, would you share with our listeners what the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 43, verse 2?
When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Wow, reassuring.
It really is. Why don't you share with some of our listeners any analogies, anything you see when you come on a passage like that?
Well, it's not saying if thou passest through the waters, is the first thing you've taught us, is mm-hmm. when thou passest through the waters. So that's going to happen.
True.
I will be with thee. And through the rivers, in other words, each of those instances, we are to expect, I suppose, trials and tribulations, but we're not alone. We're never alone. And you're not going to get burned. May get scorched a little, but you're not going to get burned. So
it's true.
I think it's very, very reassuring that we're to expect it. So I wouldn't be surprised when, as you said in Ecclesiastes, that time of feeling down, that time that's not planting and pulling up and sowing and reaping, and there's a time for all of this, and there will be a time when we go through the waters or go through the rivers or go through the fire. So I think, okay, we're aware. What do we do about it? We cry out.
And you see, that's what I appreciate, because a lot of times, in fact, some of you might be sitting there listening and said, that doesn't sound like the name it and claim it stuff I sometimes hear on religious programming. I thought I was supposed just to call out for the blessings and the blessings arrive. Well, you know, the reality is we're living here on Earth. We're going through a time and a planet that has known sin. And so sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. There is pain that's going on. Now, this is not the finished product. It's good to keep aware of. Realize there will come a time where he will call us out and we will be with him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we will have glorified bodies and we will have his touch. But guess what? We have his presence even now. He's letting free will do what it does. And that is sometimes people are faithful and sometimes people are rebellious. But Jim is right. The scripture says when you pass. So understand it's going to happen. And so understand there'll be difficult times. There will be times of blessings as well. There will be times of deliverance. And God is faithful to take us through all those times. And to be honest with you, I'm thankful for it. I mean, it may seem a little odd. You might say, well, I'd rather have it good all the time. Maybe so. Mm-hmm. But you'd be tempted to wonder, what if that whole time? We have a God that we've come through the what ifs, and we know he will deliver us. He will protect us. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, for his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So what that scripture tells me is that even God, when he brings judgment, it's short term. It's not designed to simply cause pain. It's designed to heal, to turn us around. You know, weeping can endure for a night. Joy comes in the morning. In other words, the pains and the difficulties we experience, they are temporary. They're not designed to cause permanent pain. They're designed to restore us, to draw us closer to him. And, you know, people, again, especially those that are with that little name it and claim it group, they have a tendency to think that nothing bad ever happens to believers. And so we have a tendency to feel like when something goes wrong that somehow we're in totally opposite territory of where God is, that we've failed. No, you have not failed. You're living in a land that's not perfect yet, and God is not through working on yet, and you're working around people that have still got lessons to learn, and sometimes it's we're the ones who are learning the lessons. And as a result of that, Jim, what does 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13 tell us?
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy.
So you see, it starts off reminding us, don't think it's strange when something happens. No, it's going to happen. But also realize that we are in Christ. We look at that normally and we think in terms of blessings. How wonderful. We look at that and say, well, I know that I can turn to him at any moment and have that comforter. Mm-hmm. And that's true. But also realize this world did not welcome him. This world went after Christ. They drove him all the way to the cross, and yet he was willing to go to the cross for you and for me. So understand, we are not only partakers of his blessings and of his resurrection, but also of the sufferings of Christ. And that's okay, because we don't do it alone. We walk with him through it. Isaiah 61:3 says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. You see, this is the other side of Scripture. We will go through difficulties, but for those things that seem to be so consuming, he's telling us it'll be replaced. What we see as damaged, he sees as replaced with something good. The oil of joy for mourning, another oil symbolic of the healing process and being set aside for some special work of God in our lives. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So we'll celebrate where moments before we felt broken down and without spirit, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So that is a tremendous blessing when you begin to think of it and realize how God can work in our lives and give us blessing upon blessing. And he, in fact, will regenerate and strengthen us. Jim, let's go back to Isaiah. The prophet has a lot to say in chapter 40, verse 31.
But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know, Pastor, there is someone holds this scripture up when we're doing the marathon each year. Uh-huh. And it's, I'm going to guess it's about 10 or 11 miles into it.
Mm-hmm.
And with 26 total miles and you're not even halfway, this one scripture is like, okay, thank you for that, because by that time you're starting to really have doubts whether you can physically or even mentally finish this race. And here, the Isaiah, the prophet, is giving us an example for those who wait upon the Lord. And you get really scriptural when you're running and in pain. Mm-hmm. So I'm always thankful for this one scripture.
Well, you know, I think that's very true. You really hit on it when you said, and in pain. I think, you know, there's an old line among pastors that says, when you're flat on your back, there's only one place you can look, and that's up. And so it's very mm-hmm. true. You know, when we're in pain, it's a lot easier to suddenly turn to God and seek Him out. You see an eagle, you know, unfurl those wings. It's like a flag starting to catch the wind. And those wings go out and they soar, and it's amazing. And that's what He's saying. We go through this stuff, we turn to Him, and we will renew our strength. We will be stronger and closer to Him than anything we could imagine at any other time. You know, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. We need His mercies. And the God of all comfort. If you're dealing with depression, then guess what? You need His comfort. And what does He do? He comforteth us in all our tribulation. So there's no exceptions to this rule. He is there for us, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So in other words, there is a benefit to going through these difficult times, to experience that loss, because as we do, we learn the lessons of being able to be a comforter, so that we can turn to others and offer them comfort, encouragement, and even assurance that God is faithful. He will not leave you there. He will take you out of there. And that is so very powerful, so very important to understand. When we're feeling depression, when we're feeling isolated, as we mentioned earlier, flattened down, like, you know, we can't get up, what are we going to do? The reality is God is faithful. He works in our lives. Mm-hmm. He works in our hearts. He's there for us. That's important to understand. You know, the way God works in our lives is not to let us have it perfect every day. I mean, He's there. We can experience Him. We can walk with Him. We can feel those blessings. But what's so incredibly important to get a hold of is the fact that through the valley of the shadow of darkness, we don't have to fear. He's with us. You know, I love those passages that speak of Him coming through the storms. Because again, you know, I know in this life I'm going to face some challenges. I will have some storms. To me, it's a whole lot better to know I'm not facing them alone. To know that I have the comfort that passes all understanding. To know that having gone through them, I can share them with others who might be having a difficult time. Not just to simply pat them on the back and say, oh, there, you'll get better. No, but to let them know, said, I know it can get better because He's done it for me, He'll do it for you. To have that experience of going through the fire is not a pleasant thing at the time, but it's an incredible blessing at the other end of the storm as we begin to see the clouds move back and clear. Jim, any special thoughts on your heart as you look at some of these ideas and these passages?
Well, one of our favorite pastors, Charles Stanley in Atlanta, has, you've heard him say this before, to view all things that come unto you as either being sent by God or allowed by God, not to be malicious, but to grow us up in the likeness of Christ. And I think one of the questions he encourages us to ask is, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to get me to understand? Because what's hard, I think, Pastor, for most of us is to imagine somebody has not only our interest at heart, but our best interest at heart. Not better a comparison of two, but best of all possibilities. He's trying to, you know, I think of me having the world by the tail and on a downhill pull, they used to say. And then we read that God hates haughtiness and arrogance. And you know, I look back on my life and I hope I'm changed. I hope others can see it, but I feel it. I feel like I'm not as arrogant. I don't feel like I'm in control anymore, and I'm thankful. because the one that is in control can see all of it and pick the best, not just better. I would choose better many times and say, oh, yeah, that's better than what I've got. But he chooses best. And it's hard to imagine somebody loves me enough to turn everything to good, and then to be able to look back on it and say, you know, Pastor, I remember when I went through that divorce. I never thought it would be any worse. And how, you know, from that, I can look back and now things are so much better and we all get along. And I could have not imagined that it would ever be this good. So it works.
Isn't that great? And I hope, as you might be sitting there, one of our listeners, and saying, well, if you just knew what we've gone through. You know, most of you don't realize what Jim and I at different times in our lives have gone through. And if you look around the body of Christ, you're going to find there have been people that have been injured in life, have gone through the challenges emotionally, physically, spiritually. What makes them different is not their profound abilities. It's our willingness to turn and take our weakness and give it back to God and ask for his healing, mm-hmm. to call out to his love and compassion. You know, I think sometimes we make the mistakes in difficult times to feel like nobody could love me, not now. Nobody could understand me,
right.
Not now. Don't we ever somehow need to pull back? Don't we ever grasp the understanding that's the time he loves us apparently the most, because that's the time we need it the most. God is an amazing individual that I cannot begin to grasp the depth of his love or compassion or understanding. But what I do know is that he, as the Bible says so wonderfully, so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That is the comfort. That is the grace that he offers us. It is phenomenal. It is amazing. That's why we call it amazing grace. And as we've looked briefly at some of these scriptures, I hope you start to realize a lot of it does revolve around our attitude, our ability to not just feel the pain, but to suddenly turn around and realize, I know it's difficult now, but I know he's faithful now as always. It's easy to believe in God when everything's wonderful, when the celebrations are happening, you're having a big Sunday and lots of people and great music and, you know, all that's going on. But we have to realize that we can trust God when it's late at night and we've had to make a quick trip to the hospital. We need to know we can trust God when you're sitting there in front of your checkbook and you realize the balance has gotten low and there's still checks to go. You got to realize mm-hmm. that regardless of what's going on in life, we can trust God. He will give us the strength to move beyond depression, beyond frustration. And when we have the feelings, it just seems like there's no way I can move forward. We need to always remember God is faithful. And Jim, you know, there are more scriptures that encourage, more scriptures that give us direction, more scriptures that give us examples. And as our time is up for the first part of this lesson, I'm going to ask our listeners to join us again next time as we continue with our study, and we'll get into some specifics of what to do when, in fact, you feel depressed.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons. Lines, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome back to Ask the Pastor Now as we continue our study of what to do when you feel depressed. I'm Jim Simmons, and I hope you are as ready as I am to get back into God's Word. Dr. Lyons, let me start by asking you, how serious is it, and how can we measure being depressed?
Well, that's actually a very good question to ask, and time is a real key issue. So when you measure, I hope we're thinking in terms of time. And let me explain a little bit more about that. Everybody can have an off day. Anybody can have a time where, you know, the people you're working with are just in a foul mood, or, you know, there's an expectation that simply wasn't met. You know, maybe it's as basic as, you know, you've got a sore tooth and you're desperately putting off going to the doctor, but you're also not getting away from the fact that everything seems to upset you because you're hurting. If you think about it, all of the events I've just described are things that can come and go, and pleasantly, we're pleased to know they go. But there's also things that come and they seem to stay. You know, we do handle a call center. We do talk with people that are hurting, and we can pray with them, encourage them, guide them in scripture and things of this nature. One of the things I've observed and learned to do is to ask the question of how long. You see, I'll have somebody tell me that they just, everything seems so dark, depressed, I don't know what to do. And as I talk to them and ask the question, how long have you been feeling this way? And they might answer, well, ever since I got the news. And the news was that they're going to have to move their office. They liked where they were at. They were by the window. They were close to the coffee pot. They liked the co-workers where they were located. And they're moving to a different floor. They don't know the people there. It's just going to be a bad experience. They just know it is. And you see, the point of that is, you know, maybe we're talking to them on a Sunday, and they got this new Friday afternoon leaving out the office. It's no wonder it's frustrating. No wonder it hurts. And you can feel down about that. You also need to look at the opportunities in a moment like that and say, all right, what can come out of this that might be good? Well, how can I best use this as a clean start to do something different? We all have things that come into our lives that's upsetting. Many of those things are very short-term, though, if you think about them. And that's important to grasp. In contrast to that, you may have somebody who says, well, you know, I'm very upset because I lost a loved one. Talked to some people today who lost loved ones. It's very difficult to go through that. It hurts, no question about that. And we have anniversaries that come up when somebody became sick or passed away, or we did a memorial service, and that sort of brings it fresh into our minds and our emotions. But what we also have to realize and grasp is this. The person who tells me, oh, I've just felt this way ever since I got the news that, you know, my friend passed away. And then when you ask them when they passed away and you find out, oh, that was last fall, and here you are in the heat of the summer. The reality is there are times that we move through things. There's stages of healing that takes place. If you bog down in some place without getting help, without seeking others' support and taking steps to keep moving forward, and you lock down in one spot, for one person that goes from weeks to months, even into years. And I've talked to people that said, you know, I went through a divorce, I'm broken, I'm hurting. When? I've talked to the one person that may have just had that happen this past week. I talked to another person, and it was 10 years ago, and they're still frozen in time. So the big question, and you ask how serious is it, it's very serious if the answer to the question of how long is long. And I say long meaning that, you know, depending on what we're talking about, if you're moving your office, well, all right, we'll give yourselves a few days, a few weeks. But if you're talking about the loss of a loved one, yes, it's going to take a couple of months to really be operating back where you feel like you need to be. And you'll always know that, yes, I'm missing them. I'm thankful they were a believer. I'm thankful they're in heaven. I'll see them again. It's a different kind of look, but it doesn't mean you don't miss them. But if in contrast, if it was even a major event that does take a little longer, but you're looking at years now, and there's not any indication you're moving forward, you need to get help. You don't have to continue being depressed, sorrow, broken. I think broken is a word that most people who are depressed can identify with. They feel broken. And the amazing thing is that broken stage is a time where healing can begin. If you bog down without seeking help, you will definitely feel that sensation of it's not getting better. It's not getting better. Help is there. Feel free to call out to a pastor, to your healthcare professional, maybe just your doctor to get started. But I highly encourage you to talk to your pastor and see where you're at, where you're starting from, and see if we can't begin to move forward. That's so very important to do. You know, this whole area of dealing with depression, feeling down, defeated, we can have victory over the experience when we feel depressed. And part of it is our thinking. Part of it is genuinely, where are we keeping our focus? You know, Philippians 4:8 is a great example of what to do when we're feeling defeated, depressed. Finally, brethren, I like that Paul's gone through this whole list of things talking to the Philippians, and he's about to hit them with another list, but this is an amazing list. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Paul's right on target. And the Philippians were going through a lot of difficulties. There was challenges in the early church and the early churches individually. They were going through tremendous persecution. From a worldly perspective, you could say that these people had a reason to feel down. But the reality that comes into play is Paul says it correctly. He says, focus on the things that are true, right, honest, good report, pure, lovely. He says if there's any truth going on, if there's any praise, then these are the things you want to focus in on. And I submit to you, in the most difficult of times, when you're convinced you have gone flat and wide and there's no place to look, look up and begin. You know, it's like, Jim, I don't know if you remember hearing this old hymn, but there used to be a hymn that we don't sing nearly enough. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You know, that's such a powerful thought. And that really is the songwriter is simply taking what Paul said in Philippians 4:8, what God directed Paul to write in Philippians 4:8, and put it into the life of the song. We need to do the same thing. When we're feeling beaten up, flattened out, discouraged, focus on the things that are honest, are good report. There's always something you can look back at and say, well, yes, but it's not happening right now. The same passion you're using to find what's hurting right now, use to look at what's good right now, the good report, the good things. You know, move your focus. Steal from the devil the temptation he's trying to throw in your path to feel defeated and be victorious. Look for the ways that God can move in your life. And start that out by going back and remembering all the different times that he has delivered you, that he has touched you and made life incredibly different. Jim, how about Psalm 147, verse 3? What does that say to our listeners?
He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds.
So does that mean they have to continue being busted and broken?
Sounds like that's a repair that lasts.
Absolutely.
He healeth the broken in heart. I tell you, Pastor, that is, I mean, how many of us have just been wounded and our heart has been broken? And to imagine we don't have to stay that way, that he is going to heal it and he's going to bind up their wounds. It's wonderful.
And isn't it nice, too? Did you notice? He doesn't put the bandages on and then work on our heart. No, he works on the heart first and then gets to the bandages. He knows the heart is what's hurting the most. And so he takes care of that first to bring healing back. I think that's pretty powerful. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not. Why? For I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Why? For I am thy God. What's God going to do about it? I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. By the way, Jim, something I just noticed that it's always fun to look at a scripture with fresh eyes. He says, "I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee." Three different items. We have a three-person God. It's like each person of the Trinity suddenly jumped in there and said, "Oh, by the way, I'm going to strengthen you, I'm going to help thee," and the other one jumps in and says, "And I'm going to uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Triune God can jump in there and do three things very quickly in our lives. I like, there's other passages that talks about the rope of three cords. And I think on the one hand, one cord can be weak, but three together is that much more powerful and strong. And here we have a God who is triune in three persons coming and caring and loving and rescuing us in a powerful way. So if we want that healing and we want to know that He loves us, so loves us, I think we can get a clue to that. Jim, why don't you jump in there with 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. What does the Bible say?
Can I just make a comment, Pastor? I was reading this again. Fear thou not. So would you interpret that to be, I'm in control? He just told me to fear not, so right. I can control that?
I think God can control that. And if God's in control, then why should I be fearing?
Right.
And when you see the reinforcements show up, it's a whole fresh look on the face of the soldier. Reinforcements have arrived. It's going to be okay.
Absolutely.
And for the Christian going through the battle, we see the face of God and we are comforted with the reality, fear thou not.
All right. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Wow.
So, there's two verses, one powerful thought. And again, I know we've said it before, but a reminder to people, when you're trying to understand the scripture, look for the period, look for the end of the sentence. The verses come in there somewhat arbitrary, and they can throw you off sometimes. So this is another good example. Verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." And so you're sitting there just humbled and broken. But you get the rest of the sentence is what verse 7 is, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." He doesn't just want you to be beaten down in front of Him saying, "Oh, He's God, He's God." He wants to take the load off. He wants to remind you that you are loved and protected and guided and kept in a very wonderful way. That's why in Luke 18:1, "And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." How can we give up when we have a God we can call out to? How can we feel defeated when we have a God who so loves us? It doesn't make sense, does it, Jim, to feel defeated when you realize just how much God loves you?
Well, that and Pastor, as I'm hearing this and seeing it, I'm wondering, this is a dialogue. This is a participatory endeavor. In other words, I shouldn't be doing anything on my own. I should be praying always, and I think it gives me the opportunity to have fellowship. And I find myself sometimes, and I think part of the Holy Spirit's responsibility, correct me if I'm wrong, is to let me know when I'm off track or to let me know when I have done something that I should not have done, to convict me. Mm-hmm. And so I see, that we always ought to pray because we're not expected to know all these answers, are we?
No. And I like you're pointing out the fact that praying is not just a wish list. A lot of times people get in there and they pray to God when they want this, they want that, they want a boat, they want a raise. They run down their wish list. Praying is communication with God. So it does include telling Him what we need and what we would like. But it also is involved in getting to know Him. If you wanted to get to know somebody, you don't just come to them with a list of things you want from them. You spend time finding out, what are they like? What do they enjoy doing? Mm-hmm. What makes them happy? Where did you come from? that's one of the reasons we go into the Word of God. We can pray and ask God our questions. We open up the Bible and begin to read. And what begins to happen as that's going on is what we are having the opportunity to find out more about God. And we begin to learn out, well, He is. He is omnipresent. He's always there. And we begin to find out, well, He seems to be a God of compassion, because look at the number of times He intervenes in our lives. He seems to be a God of truth, because, you know, He is from the beginning all the way to now, and it will be through the future. And the interesting thing is, I've never seen Him lie. I've never seen Him tell me something that didn't turn out to be true. The said of Jesus, mm-hmm. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. Jim, I mean, you look at elected officials, can you say that any of them are the same yesterday, today, or forever, unless the part we're referring to is their nature to be unpredictable? You know, that's...
I think that's right. I think the one thing you can count on is you cannot count on them, but they are consistently in this unresponsive way. But, you know, Pastor, I think about this responsibility we have, and it's actually a privilege to be able to talk to God. I can never get over that. And is there anything I can't talk to God about?
Yeah, I mean, see, that's the amazing thing, is that we can come to Him. He wants us to come to Him. He welcomes us in. And, you know, He wants to know what's on our heart. And that's the amazing aspect of it. You know, we have a God that we act like we can't come to, when in reality He calls us to come to Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the Scripture say in, I believe it's in Revelation, the passage about, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will come in, I will open the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me." I've heard evangelists use that as an invitation, you know, to the lost, and what they don't seem to ever understand is that Scripture, in context, is written to believers. So this invitation, "I stand at the door knocking," is not one that's saying God's knocking at the door for someone to get saved. He says He's knocking at the door to save people. People like you and me, who are His children, and apparently... we're out there running about busy so much that we're not spending time with Him. That little verse is not just a blessing, it's also a bit of a condemnation, that you and I seem to stay so busy we haven't got time to sit down and fellowship with God. And I submit to you that when we're that busy, we're too busy. Now, we need that time with Him. If you love somebody, you want to spend time with them. You know, I've been amazed at the number of married couples who get married because they want to spend their entire lifetime with that individual. And then you look at the end of a week, and if they spend an hour together, that's pretty amazing. You know, "I thought you all loved each other." Set your priorities right. I know there's life going on. I know there's things you have to take care of. But probably the most important thing for a husband and wife is to care for each other, put God first in their lives. That's the greatest step of putting each other first, is by putting God over them as an umbrella to watch over them, to keep them, to know that the one person is praying that God will watch over the other person when they're apart, and vice versa. I mean, that should be an empowering thing for a husband or a wife, to know they've always got that one person in this world who is praying for them. So that should be a tremendous encouragement. And so we should pray always, not to faint, have that strength. Nehemiah 8:10, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." He's telling these people, it's okay to celebrate. It's okay to have a meal to celebrate and give thanks, that it's a day that we celebrate unto the Lord. Somehow people think that Christians aren't supposed to celebrate. We're not supposed to have good times. My goodness, we have been forgiven. Who is better prepared and better positioned to celebrate and give thanks than the person who has experienced forgiveness? I think we do God an injustice. His reputation is on the line when we claim that we know Him and then act like we're all on our own when difficult times come. And no wonder we would feel depressed if that were true, that we're on our own. The reality is we're not. That, you know, God is there in our lives. God is healing. God is working. God is directing and meeting our every need. We're just acting like he's not meeting our need because we don't see the answers. The reality is, get into his word, spend time in fellowship, spend time in praising him, getting to know him. God inhabits the praise of his people. You stop praising, don't expect God to be able to work in your life as effectively as when you're willing to turn things over to him and, yes, celebrate. When I'm depressed, I don't feel like celebrating. But the amazing thing is, if I transition what I'm listening to, you know, for me personally, one of the things that works tremendously is getting into his word and getting in godly Christian music. Music that has the scriptures in it. Music that is positive of how he works in our lives. Celebrating, you know, that he redeems us. You know, like, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And as I mentioned earlier, some of the other verses of hymns. These are things that the mind is going to be fed, and suddenly you'll realize that, you know, God is blessing. Even in this moment, it can begin to take you from depression to strengthening to refreshing to healing in a powerful way. Jim, how about Isaiah 51:11? Why don't you share that with the listeners and also share what it means to you?
Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I think of the redeemed of the Lord. When I think of the word redeemed, Pastor, correct me if I'm wrong, it's an exchange, is it not?
It is.
I think of the old trading stamps. Do you remember those? Where you could save up these stamps and you could go redeem them for kitchen items or household items, and it was a redemption center, they called it. So therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. Return from where? We're in a strange land and come with singing unto Zion. Zion, is it not another word for Jerusalem?
Yes.
And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. I love the word everlasting. You know, there is nothing that lasts forever but God's word and this joy he's talking about. So I just imagine, and Pastor, am I anywhere close to on target? The deeper we get into the word, we're rinsing our minds. We're renewing our minds with, instead of world knowledge, we're getting God's wisdom. And so the Holy Spirit, one of the responsibilities I understand is to convict us. The deeper we are in God's word, would you say the quicker the Holy Spirit convicts us? We're more conscious of it quicker than when we didn't have all the passages and the scripture. Is that correct? That time frame is shorter when you're in the Word?
That's very true. And another thing that's interesting about that is a younger Christian, you know, the things that bother them that, you know, they're focusing in on, that they want to put changes in their lives and be a stronger believer. It's usually things that are pretty broad strokes, because those are the things that immediately they see. And you look at a believer who has been walking by faith, not by sight, for 10, 20, 30 years, and it's interesting the things that they begin to focus in on. It's the things that maybe a brand new believer wouldn't even pick up on, but hopefully they've gotten those basics under control. They're not having to be reminded to get into the Word daily. They're not having to be reminded to witness and share their faith. But it's the little things that they realize could still be a stumbling block, perhaps from them to another believer, or perhaps in their quiet time that could be a distraction. They don't want that anymore. You know, maybe you're a brand new believer and you're just happy to read John 3:16. Maybe you've been a believer for a lot of years and suddenly you find out, I don't want anything distracting me. I want a quiet place. Early in your faith, it doesn't matter. Just so you can read the Bible is such a blessing. Later on, you don't want any distractions. Mm-hmm. I want total focus. This is important. God's business is going on in my life right now. So it's interesting how we transition to take those next steps up. It doesn't mean that you're great and the other one isn't. What it means is you've traveled a journey, you're getting closer, and you've been blessed to learn more about God. And I would encourage people who have learned more to be prepared to teach more, to accept the responsibilities, to touch lives, to pray with others, to look for the opportunities to be used of God in a powerful way. And let's go back to Isaiah 51:11 again for a very important observation. And that is, Isaiah is talking to a group of people that have come through captivity, that have gone through hurting, have gone through pain. And so for those of you sitting there, yes, you just don't know how bad my situation is. This was a nation who had been in captivity, held by people who did not know our God and didn't care. And what God's people are saying through Isaiah 51:11, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return. To what? They're going to come back to walking with God in freedom and foundation. And how are they going to do it? They're going to come with singing unto Zion. Everlasting joy is going to be on their head. They'll obtain gladness and joy. And sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Sorrow and mourning was something they understood. They'd been in captivity. They'd been prisoners as a nation. And guess what? Through all of that, they are coming back rejoicing. And guess what? You feel depressed. You feel like a captive to your situation, to your event. Rest assured that God is faithful. Romans 8, 35 through 39 talks about who can separate us from the love of Christ. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. As it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and all these things are more than conquerors through him that loved us. If you're saved, understand that I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You need Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord if you've never accepted him. Jim, would you take a minute and share with our listeners what it means to or how they could accept Christ?
Well, we take them to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. You'll find it on our website at askthepastornow.com. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Repent, ask God to come into your heart, ask Jesus in, and you will be saved from that very moment. Salvation is available to anybody. Once you repent and say, I'm going the wrong way, I need to try this other way, and when the Holy Spirit moves you, just confess your sins and turn to God and ask him to save you. And he will not make you grovel. He won't make you beg. He'll save you instantly.
And that is so very true. I hope you realize he is a God of love and a God of peace and joy. And that's what he's offering you. Love, joy, and peace. I hope you're going to come back and join us next week as we roll into the month of August and roll into our fifth year of broadcasting by God's blessings and grace. Also want to remind you that actually, in fact, Jim, who's going to be with us on August 18th, just a couple of weeks out?
Well, we have a special guest, Charlie Fogarty. He's an honorary member and speaker for the Sons of the Republic of Texas. That's next week.
Well, that's wonderful. We know you'll want to be a part of that. I've had a chance to speak with him and hear him make a presentation, and it's pretty exciting. He's going to deal with not only the history of the Republic of Texas, but also share the Christian aspect of that. So I think you'll find it really fascinating, a different aspect to our history. So let me thank you once again for being with us, joining us this evening, and encouraging you to come back with us next week. Jim, as always, you are a blessing, and I thank you for being so kind and sharing your time with us.
Thank you, Pastor, for teaching us. God bless you.
God bless you, and God bless all of our listeners, and thank you for being a part of this broadcast. It means so much to all of us.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray. pray and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.